It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
Hey, Satellite Guys, welcome to another exciting edition of the SatelliteGuys.us podcast. And you know, Scott, we're always calling Charlie different names like the Big Cheese or whatever, but I think Howard Stern hit it off this week when he called Charlie a douche.
Well, I don't know about that. Charlie's not a dummy. And remember last month I said that February is going to be a big storm for satellite news, and definitely the past week has been an incredible week for satellite news, and thanks for tuning to Satellite Guys for getting all your latest information. Before we start the podcast tonight, I want to apologize about our server issues we had last week, but we're back in full motion, and we thank you for your patience there. Let's get back to Charlie and Sirius and Howard Stern, if we will. News came out that Charlie Ergen has bought $300 million of Sirius debt. And it appears, according to the Wall Street Journal, that he wants to take over the company. And Sirius has this huge payment they need to pay, which is, I believe, $175 million by the 17th of this month. And they don't really have the funds to pay it. And I guess Charlie Ergen now owns that debt and has been talking to Sirius about buying them, but it appears that Sirius is putting up some defense now. And according to the New York Times, Sirius XM may actually file for bankruptcy, Chapter 11, which may make Charlie Ergen's $300 of debt absolutely worthless to Charlie. Pennies on the dollar, because if they go and reorganize, Charlie's not going to get paid back all his debt, because you know how bankruptcy works there. So it's going to be an interesting 24, 48 hours here to see what happens next in this big game of satellite radio chess.
My question is what happens to all the shareholders of the company who have paid thousands upon thousands of dollars for Sirius stock that have potentially lost it all now?
Well, chances are they lost it all already before Charlie stuck his nose in things, but if Charlie gets control, chances are their stock's worthless, and if Sirius files for bankruptcy, chances are your stock is worthless as well. So bad news there for stockholders. Let me give you my feelings on what's going on here and what Charlie is trying to do, and let me say this is all rumor, speculation, stuff I've heard but not confirmed 100%. Charlie's no fool. As I say, Sirius Satellite Radio, XM Satellite Radio combined together is the second largest subscription service in the world, behind, I believe it's Comcast. And Charlie's not going to buy Sirius Satellite Radio and shut it down. He's no dummy. Now, one thing you haven't seen reported in the mainstream media here, which is I've been hearing buzz about, is about a little music service called Muzak. Now, Dish Network uplinks Muzak, the music service which is heard in commercial establishments around the world, also heard in millions of elevators. Muzak has a ton of channels available, and if you're a Dish Network subscriber, you get the mono channels and stereo channels, which are from the Muzak service. Now, the rumor going around that I'm hearing and that I'm talking about now is that Muzak is getting ready to file for bankruptcy itself. My speculation on this is that Charlie wants to buy Muzak. But why does he want Sirius XM? Because if he takes Sirius XM and combines them with Muzak, he is now America's number one commercial music provider. Now, you may say, well, you know, he can sell commercial music using the Muzak service. Why does he want Sirius XM? Well, let's look at things this way. If he took Sirius XM under his wing, he could close down all the call centers in use by Sirius XM and funnel those calls off to the existing Dish Network call centers. In addition, since he has so much tied up in programming with programmers such as CNN and Fox News and so on and so forth, Charlie's negotiation tactics could get those channels what you're currently on those satellite radio services at a much cheaper cost. In addition, because he is so tied up with all the programmers in there, he'll have access to a wide variety of celebrities and different people who would be able to take over certain channels on Sirius XM. So if the way he's looking at it, he could actually be the savior of satellite radio. And I haven't fully decided yet if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Part of me enjoys it because since Sirius XM has merged, the service has gone down the toilet. A lot of channels have combined, a lot of DJs were fired, a lot of programming that you used to love on Sirius and XM are now history, and it's become homogenized. You know, you listen to the 80s on 8 channel or the 70s on 7, and you hear the same 200 songs played over and over and over again when those channels had 3,000 to 4,000 songs that they played from before they became merged channels. Under Dish Network's wings, you know, they could once again expand the lineup there and offer a much better variety of music because, as we've seen online, people don't want to listen to what sounds like FM radio. That's not what they pay satellite radio for. And I think that's what Charlie wants to turn satellite radio back into.
Scott, you know, I have a little bit slight different take on it, but this is essentially the same thing. Sirius has all this debt that's looming right now, and Charlie just happens to be one of the world's richest people. Overnight, Charlie could pay off all that debt and instantly increase the Sirius's stock to well over $3. I'm only speculating here, but the stock would instantly dramatically go up, and it would be a win-win situation for both Sirius and EchoStar. And I really honestly think Sirius would be crazy not to take Charlie's offer.
Yeah, and another thing that people are saying here, and your idea there may be right on point. I'm looking at it from one side, you're looking at it from another, but both are very valid. Another big question comes up is what happens to Howard Stern? You know, you keep hearing his $500 million number thrown around. Remember here, folks, that was for a 5-year contract, which equals $100 million a year. Also remember that he got most of the money paid to him in stock and other options when he first started here. So the cost to keep Stern on satellite radio right now is, while higher than someone like Opie and Anthony or Bubba the Love Sponge, is still incredibly worthwhile. When you consider that Sirius XM, after they bill everybody every year, they take in $2 billion a year. Howard Stern's measly $100 million a year contract, if he was getting paid $100 million a year, is incredibly worth it for love him or hate him, for a man who put satellite radio on the map. You know, Sirius Satellite Radio had, what, 20,000 subscribers? And then they announced they're getting Stern. And before Stern even went on the air, so many people were excited about Stern going to satellite radio. They were up to 2 million subscribers, which was just an incredible feat showing the power of this guy. Love him or hate him, satellite radio needs him, and I don't think Charlie would get rid of him.
I don't think so either. I think right now Stern kind of, because he doesn't exactly realize what's going on, I think Stern sees him more as a threat, but really Charlie's an asset to Howard versus a threat.
Well, yeah, but you got to remember that Howard Stern is very loyal to his friend Mel Karmazan, and you can't blame him. If you heard the show today, Stern was trying to get Baba Booey, Gary Delabate, to call and get Charlie on the phone and was unsuccessful. One thing I can point out to Gary, who's probably listening to the show tonight, and Gary passes on to Howard, Charlie's last name is Ergen, not Urgen.
Yes.
They kept calling him Charlie Urgen, and it makes me want to go through the radio and choke both of them today. It's Charlie Ergen. Okay, we got that clear. You know, I think they need to keep him on board and look for some additional talents to bring to satellite radio, because ultimately you've got a great product here. You just need the right person and the right drive behind it, because it is a money-making venture.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. And I think this is actually what the doctor ordered. And speaking of what the doctor ordered, we're going to go ahead and switch gears now to DirecTV, who had some amazing numbers for the fourth quarter of this year.
Yeah, they announced they had 301,000 new subscribers in the fourth quarter, and their churn rate was the lowest in years, and just really amazing numbers from DirecTV here. And I'm really looking to see what Dish Network does, because if Charlie comes out and has poor numbers like everybody's expecting, again, for the third consecutive quarter, Charlie can't blame the economy here, because DirecTV kicked ass in the fourth quarter of 2008.
Right, we really know what the real reason. The real reason is Dish has not added any programming. Well, they started doing that, but in the fourth quarter, which reflects the numbers that they put out, that wasn't happening.
Well, another thing that could be playing into this here is, you know, Charlie's eye is not in the ball. If you look back, and we're going to go back to the serious thing just for a second here, is, you know, Charlie seems to be planning this out for a while now. He hired on board for the board of directors former Sirius CEO Joe Clayton. And last week they announced they have a new senior vice president of marketing, Ira Barr, who not only worked at Dish Network in the past, but was also the senior vice president of marketing for Sirius Satellite Radio. So there's some interesting things there.
Yeah, exactly, Scott. So it's quite interesting seeing how this is all starting to play out. And, you know, while the numbers may be bad, maybe Charlie just said, hey, I'll take a couple of hits on a couple of quarters, and knowing that the future might be bright.
Yep, and even at CES, I had a chance to talk to Charlie, and he was really distant on about Dish Network. He didn't really seem to know what was going on at the company, and I even believe I told you, Bob, at that time that he was working on something, he's just not saying what it is, and I think we know what it is now. But DirecTV, congratulations again on a very successful fourth quarter. And Dish, we're looking forward to seeing your numbers, and don't you dare blame the economy, because we'll kick you right in the ass, okay?
Yeah, speaking of DirecTV, I understand we have some news on NASCAR Hot Pass finally.
Well, no official news yet. The word I'm getting from the inside is that DirecTV is looking to offer some of the features of Hot Pass this year for free. Now, tonight, right before we started recording this, DirecTV lit up 4 NASCAR driver channels. And I don't think it's going to be the driver channels like we saw last year, where you have a dedicated crew, announce team, you know, people in the pits talking to the drivers and stuff like that. Instead, I think we're going to see cameras focused on those cars, but the main audio is going to come from who's ever doing the broadcast at that time, whether it be Fox or Speed or NBC, whoever's doing the race broadcast. But that way you can focus in on your favorite driver and see how they're doing.
Yeah, that's definitely great news. I was one of the most vocal users about NASCAR Hot Pass leaving, because I am a huge Dale Jr. fan. And, you know, it's glad to see that they have heard their customers and that they're putting up some programming there, where it was definitely going to be something that was really going to be missed.
Now, you're a huge Jr. fan, and I got to admit, Smoke's my man. And I'm kind of disappointed that week number one has no Smoke coverage. So, DirecTV, if you're listening, please fix that. We need our fix of Tony Stewart there.
Yeah, exactly. I was actually kind of disappointed last year, because Junior Nation did seem to get a lot of the attention on DirecTV, and Smoke didn't get as much. And I would like to see a little bit more of a balance there, because while Junior is my man, I do like watching Smoke also.
Yeah, Tony Stewart had a good weekend in the Budweiser shootout. He actually came in third place, which is incredible, considering he's driving a brand new car. He's back into a Chevy, and it's also incredible because it's his first race as the team owner, and it's kind of neat there to see him. Towards the end of the race, he was in 14th place, but by the final lap, he was in number 3, and that was a good thing there for Tony. All right, enough of NASCAR for the moment, and switch gears again there, Bob. I can make a little sound effects, I think.
Well, we got a new HD here on Dish that just launched more recently, haven't we, Scott?
Yeah, we talked about this on last week's podcast, but according to some glitch out there, the channels weren't supposed to be lit up till Wednesday. And Monday night they lit up, and then Tuesday night they lit up the Fox Business News in HD. But a lot of people could not see the channels because of some authorization glitch. And as far as I can see now, everybody should be taken care of.
Very good. Yeah, because I think it was some Absolute customers weren't getting the channels.
Well, here's the thing with Absolute, and let me speak on what's going on here. The Absolute package is a lot cheaper than what the Turbo HD packages are. Now, the people who have the Absolute package are grandfathered. For right now, Dish had a choice whether they move those people to a Turbo HD package or keep them where they are. For what it appears now is they're keeping people where they are. However, any new HD programming is not going to be made available into the Absolute package. If you really want that new program, you're going to have to move into the more expensive Turbo HD package. And some people think that's not fair, but it's better than them shutting down the Absolute package for everybody and forcing them into a Turbo HD package.
Right, we actually had a question in the forum for G Fears. He wanted to know about Fox News and Fox News Business not being included in the Turbo HD packages, so I'm assuming that that has been rectified.
Yes, as far as I know, and this is what I'm being told, I have the Everything pack, so I can't really confirm this with my own package. But the Fox News and Fox News HD are available in the Turbo HD Bronze package, which is equivalent basically to the America's Top 100 or whatever the hell it is now. And the Fox News Business channel in HD is available in the Gold package, the Turbo HD Gold package, which is equivalent to America's Top 250.
Very good. And we're always happy to answer your questions, so feel free to leave us a message there in the forum and we'll get to them.
Yep. Well, Bob, it's been a busy week, and I thank everybody for waiting for this edition of the podcast. We knew we had a lot of news coming this week. Before we go, though, did you see the tech chat last night?
Yeah, I did, and I also saw that the Smithsonian channel in HD on Dish was actually getting programming guide data now.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a mistake or if they're getting ready. I'm hearing that they're still talking, and talks are close, but nothing official yet, and people are seeing guide data if they go ahead in their guide a couple hours for Smithsonian. It's actually Smithsonian content, so they're ready to hit the switch again when those deals finalize. And last night in the tech chat, no real HD news, which we didn't expect, but I thought it was a really good tech chat as far as showing off Dish Network's new products.
Yeah, the 922, which we saw at CES, is a incredible piece of machinery, and I was actually kind of surprised that they set a spring launch date for that, because I'm waiting for that receiver to come out before I go ahead and light up some Dish service again.
Yeah, Mark Jackson actually said that the 922 hardware is all done, and now they're just finishing off the software. So that spring release date may come. I may end up eating my hat for saying that it probably wouldn't come out till the fall, but who knows? One big thing I did learn last night, and everybody thinks of me as a satellite know-all, I learned something last night in the tech chat, and that is if you have an iPhone and you have signed up for the beta program for Sling Guide, I didn't realize that the remote control features were active in the iPhone website.
Wow, I didn't know that either, Scott, and you learn something new every day, and glad to see that Dish is putting something informative in their tech chats for once.
Yeah, it was kind of neat, because I've used my iPhone to program my DVR using this Sling Guide beta, but I didn't realize that if you went to the menu there, you could actually select remote control. And the remote control pops up, and you can actually pause and rewind and fast forward your DVR. So if your wife is like mine and loses the remote control all the time, you just pull out your handy-dandy iPhone, log into dish.sling.com, and you can fully control your 722 or 622 with your iPhone, just like a regular remote control. It's really, really cool.
Or you could be like me. My wife's at home during the day. I'm at work. I could just mess with her at work through my iPhone.
And yeah, another neat thing, some people ask me this, if you have a Sling box and it's hooked up to your 622 or 722, you can go to the website and associate those two boxes together. And what that will allow you to do is if you're sitting at work bored, you can click on and watch how it's made right on the website. It will play it right off your DVR to your Sling box. It's really, really cool.
Wow, that's a fantastic feature that Dish and EchoStar and Sling Media has put together. So, well, Scott, that's the music.
Yeah, Bob, well, it's been a big week for news, and hopefully the news keeps on coming, and if it does, you can find it right here at Satellite Guys.
Yeah, we'll see you next week, and stay tuned.
See ya!
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.